out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 30th of November 2018 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, today I'm gonna go back to the previous two episodes that I recently did about solutions to multiculturalism, because it seems that some people didn't quite get what I was talking about, didn't quite understand what I was talking about or why I would be suggesting these things. So I'm going to go through a comment that was left for me because I think it's quite instructional actually to answer it. And it's a bit bizarre. The person making the comment claims to be an atheist national socialist, which is a bit like calling yourself a communist national socialist. The national socialists fought against atheism. You had to part of the vow to become a part of the SS was a belief in God. They fought against atheism. Atheists would have been put in the camps alongside the communists. It would have been seen as exactly the same thing. So it just seems a bit bizarre to me that anyone could claim to be that. And that's one of the problems that we do have today, is people have their own fantasies about what National Socialism was, which they pick up usually from Hollywood, or from reading fake books written after the war that try to present the National Socialists as pagans or Satanists or devil worshippers, when they were Christian. National Socialism was based upon Christian principles. There's also been criticisms of the fact that I bring Christianity into my talks on this subject. But the fact of the matter is, the laws and the advice that is given in the Bible is exactly what's going on. It is borne out by what is going on. And it is because we turned our backs on those laws that we are in the situation that we are in today. I mean, the first revolution in Britain got rid of Charles I, and they killed Charles I. And after Charles I, we had a government made up from the mob, basically. And it's from that moment onwards that we had statutory laws, and they started making up their own laws. Right up until they killed the king, we had to obey biblical law. We had to obey common law. We had the common law in Britain, which we'd had for thousands of years, which was in tune with biblical law. We even had jubilees where everything had to go back to the owner, and we didn't have usury. We had all sorts of things that we used to follow that were in tune with the Bible, which we no longer follow. And it goes back to getting rid of the king. If you read the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, they're desperate to get rid of all the monarchies, because they know that if they can get rid of the monarchies, then it will be the money power that rules, and they can raise up their puppets from among the mob who will do whatever they tell them to do. So the fact that Christianity is brought into this is because the people that are trying to topple Christianity bring it into this, and because the instructions and the guidance that is given in the Bible is nationalist guidance. And it says that you should not seek the peace of the nations around you. You should have nothing to do with them. You should never have a foreigner ruling over you. And what have they done? They've given sovereignty over to the European Union, sovereignty over to the United Nations, brought the foreigner in within the city gates. All of these things are banned in the Bible, but the church chooses to ignore them. and pretend that the New Testament, which doesn't really has very little to do with the political system, and pretend that, the New Testament supersedes everything in the Old Testament. It doesn't. The reason why there is very little about the political systems and how a society should be run in the New Testament is because it was all dealt with in the Old Testament. But getting back to this comment, the first bit that he says, he quotes me saying hating ethnic minorities is a complete waste of emotional capital, and says I will be the judge of that. Well, if you want to make lots of posts about how much you hate ethnic minorities, and then you get into a situation with an ethnic minority, and you end up getting in a fight with them, or anything really, and they accuse you of racism and say, well, you had racist views. The government, the state, the police will be looking to see whether you hate ethnic minorities. And if they find any evidence that there is hatred for ethnic minorities, they will throw the book at you. We've just had there's a chap in America, and he broke a window in a mosque and left a bit of pork there. And he's been given 15 years for that. Now, if that window of that mosque had been broken by somebody that had never made any statements about hating ethnic minorities, he wouldn't have even got a prison sentence. But he's got 15 years in prison. Because the police have investigated him and think that he hates ethnic minorities. So we should be trying not to hate ethnic minorities. This is why I say you should just be indifferent to them. The ethnic minorities are a tool that is being used against the white race. That's all they are. They are a tool or a weapon that is being used to replace us with. But it's not the ethnic minorities that thought that up. It's not the ethnic minorities that broke down the borders into America, that broke down the borders into Europe. It's our own European politicians and our own American politicians that did that. So if we have any hate for anyone, it should be for the traitors of our own race. And guess what? There is no law against inciting hatred against traitors of your own race, or inciting hatred of politicians. So it's quite within the law to dislike and even hate the politicians that have done this to us. But inciting hatred against other races, well, that's illegal under British law. And obviously they're going to use that in America, and they use that in this case with this lad that broke a window of a mosque. So no, it's not a good idea to be talking about how much you hate ethnic minorities, simply because if an incident happens, you could be quite innocent. I think most people are innocent. Nobody goes out of their way to hurt ethnic minorities, but we know if there is any altercation with them, they are going to jump up and down and shout racism. They're going to try and accuse what has happened as being a hate crime, because they know that means that we will, or the person that's been accused of that will have a much harsher sentence for doing so. So I would suggest, no, we don't want to be hating ethnic minorities. We want to be indifferent to them. He says it's impossible to be indifferent to them. And he says he's going to call me a liar if I say that I am indifferent to them. It is a struggle to be indifferent to them, but it is character building to do something like that, to rise above that and not let your emotions take control of you. If you let your emotions take control of you, then that's a very female way to be. And we want to encourage masculinity, not femininity here. We want the men to be men, and we want the women to be women. So we don't want people to be emotional. We don't want people to be saying things that can self-incriminate them online. The next bit, he quotes me again, fantasizing about revolutions and uprisings are also a waste of emotional energy. So he says, so your man Harold Covington was wasting his emotional energy. Covington wasn't fantasizing about revolutions and uprisings. What Harold Covington talked about was the legitimate route to establishing a sovereign state based upon historical precedent, the historical precedent that was set by Ireland, set by Israel. And you can't call these states illegitimate. You can only call them that they're legal. And they went about, there is a system in international law for establishing a sovereign state. He certainly wasn't encouraging people to go out and attack ethnic minorities, or he didn't even encourage going on demonstrations. And he talked about a lot of things being a complete waste of time that people are involved in. And the problem also is with this fantasizing about revolutions and uprisings, if you're going to fantasize about that and you're going to write about it, again, that will be used to clamp down on you. All we have to do is look at these recent trials of the alleged National Action members in Britain talking about these sort of things, and they were only fantasizing about it, but it's been taken as if they were, that was verbatim. They wanted to start a race war. They wanted to start a revolution. They had a crossbow and a baseball bat at home. So that's all the evidence that was needed. And that's because they'd been fantasizing about it. So no, it's not a good idea to fantasize about these things. If something like that happens, then obviously you're going to join in on the white man's side. But planning it, talking about it, no, that's not helpful at all. Harold Covington was very careful to write his books as fictional books. He wasn't giving instructions. And if you're going to fantasize about these things, and you're going to, it's usually the sort of people that say, oh, well, UKIP aren't any good, Tommy Robinson isn't any good, Britain First aren't any good, any of these organizations that actually get anywhere aren't any good because they're not Hitler. Well, you're not going to get Hitler. We had Hitler 70 years ago. You're not going to get Hitler now. The best you're going to get now is people like Britain First, people like UKIP. And the best thing that we can do as white people is to support them. Just support them in whatever way that you can. They're all doing something to help white people. So I'm not saying just move somewhere that's full of white people and don't do anything else. We should all be supporting groups like that. I mean, in Britain, we've got British Movement. They are racial nationalists. Yes, you should be supporting them. UKIP, they're trying to do something about the Islamic invasion of Britain. They're trying to stop the grooming gangs. They're moving towards being a counter-jihad party, and Gerard Batten really needs support. So yes, support UKIP. Look at Britain First. They are challenging Facebook in the courts about them removing their Facebook page. And because they're based in Northern Ireland and there's a law against private companies doing things like that to political groups. So you should be supporting Britain First as well. Tommy Robinson, who is doing a lot to expose all these sort of things that are going on with his own media company. Yes, you should be supporting him for that. Okay, they're not Hitler, but they all have integrity, and everything that they are doing is helpful to us, or parts of what they are doing are helpful to us. And if they're partly helpful to us, that should be good enough for us. We live in a corrupted world, far, far more corrupted than it was in the time of Adolf Hitler. Somebody that was doing what Adolf Hitler was doing today would not have any success. We have to adapt ourselves to the laws that we have today. Adolf Hitler wasn't breaking the law. They came to power through democratic means. They came to power through being voted in. They decided that they weren't going to break the law. They weren't going to have an uprising and a revolution. And the National Socialist Revolution was a spiritual revolution. It was a revolution in outlook and in thinking. And it all came about once they had actually taken power. But they had to have the numbers first before they could get voted in. And we don't have the numbers. We don't have any big racial nationalist organizations. We have civic nationalist organizations, but we don't have any large racial ones. I would advise joining these civic nationalist organizations and obviously talking to the people there. As I've said so many times before, the actual members of these organizations are far more radical and racial than the leaders of them. He quotes me again saying there are no revolutions that have not ended up with the people in a worse condition. And he thinks the American Revolution put people in a better condition. Well, from what I can see of the American Revolution, it brought about a civil war, a brother's war. It freed all the slaves, gave them the same rights as white people. And it's America that is pushing the liberal agenda today. It is America that is forcing the liberal humanistic agenda on all the rest of the world. All the rest of the world. So no, I don't think the American Revolution was good. None of these revolutions that have come about through bloodshed have been any good, and every one of them has been instigated by the Jews, with the exception of the revolution in outlook that took place with the National Socialists. And the Jews talk about this, again, in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. They talk about revolution. E. Michael Jones has written a whole book, The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit and Its Impact on World History. And he goes back for the last 2,000 years, picking out every single revolution, and every single one has the Jews at the heart of it. And after the revolution has taken over, things are worse for the people. He quotes me again, "The kingdoms of the world may be in the hands of the devil, but these kingdoms did still have to obey the biblical law and the common law until they were overturned for democracy, that is." And he seems to find that funny. As I pointed out at the beginning of this episode, biblical law that we had in Britain, it meant that we had no usury. It meant that we had no Jews in Britain until they were brought in with William the Bastard, William the Conqueror, in 1066. We never even had any Jews in Britain up until that point. And if you look at Alfred the Great's laws, they are all biblical laws, including this every 49 years or whatever it is, everything has to go back to its owner. And you couldn't take a man's land from him. You couldn't take a man's children from him. You couldn't take a man's tools from him. You couldn't even go into a man's house and drag him out from the house. You had to wait around outside. Biblical laws about marriage, miscegenation is not tolerated. Marrying strange flesh, marrying strange women, that's not tolerated. Allowing foreigners into your country, that's not tolerated. All of these laws, the church itself was the first to bring in laws banning the marriage of Jews and Christians. The church was the one that brought all these laws in. And it's the anti-Christian, communist, atheistic, Marxist, progressive, liberal ideals that have pushed all this degeneracy on us. It hasn't been Christians pushing for gay marriage. It hasn't been Christians pushing for race mixing. It was these Baptist churches in America that were the last to actually fall for the miscegenation propaganda. Next, he quotes me saying the National Socialist Revolution was a revolution in thinking, not an armed uprising. And he says the German National Socialists, particularly the Sturm Battalion, were engaged in a lot of violence before Adolf Hitler came to power. Yes, they were involved in violence and in fighting against their own people, fighting against communists. They weren't fighting against a protected class of ethnic minority that would have seen them go to jail for 10 times the jail sentence that they would have normally done if they'd just been fighting against white people. It was a completely different time back then. They weren't going to be accused of hate crimes if they defended themselves against their own people. It was a completely different situation. And if you look at how violence has helped us today, have a look at the Unite the Right rally last year. All the nationalists went there knowing they were going to be attacked. They didn't want to have a fight, but they knew they were going to be attacked, so they brought defensive equipment. They brought helmets. They brought shields. They didn't bring clubs. They didn't bring swords. They didn't bring machetes. They didn't bring offensive weapons. They brought defensive equipment. Was that portrayed in the mainstream media? That all they did was bring defensive equipment and they didn't want to fight? No, it wasn't portrayed like that in the media. It was portrayed that they went there looking for a fight, and they went there all tooled up to the teeth with all these weapons and shields and all the rest of it. And everybody that went to that rally has had bad things happen to them ever since then. The people that did defend themselves were in jail or still are in jail just simply for defending themselves against a Negro that attacked an old man and caused him to have stitches to his head, wielding a maglite as a club. And all they did was defend themselves. But they're in jail for that. Are they any use to us as nationalists while they're in jail? No, they're not. We can look in Britain. We can look to the demonstration that was held in Dorset Last year, there was a big demonstration in Dorset that was against immigration, and the left turned out in hordes of leftists were there, and they attacked the nationalists. They were the ones that attacked the nationalists, smashing windows of buses, all sorts. And the nationalists defended themselves. What happened? At least 20 nationalists were jailed, probably a hell of a lot more. I'm just citing 20 because that's the number of names that I have for people that were jailed from that one demonstration. I mean, it decimated the British movement. So many of their members ended up being jailed, and all they did was defend themselves. All they did was defend themselves against the left. And I think only one or two of the left were jailed, if that. Some of them were let off. Some of them were found guilty of extreme violence and were then let off because they cried in court, if you can believe that. So even defensive violence is not helping us. Jared Taylor has pointed this out. He's pointed out that in the time of the civil rights in the 60s, what really changed the public opinion was seeing these Negroes being beaten by cops and doing nothing and not fighting back. And that's what it was that changed the public perception, was seeing that. You can think about Gandhi and his peaceful resistance as well. So Jared Taylor has pointed that out and said, if we're going to go on demonstrations, if we're going to have these demonstrations, it has to be that we don't fight back. And what's even better than back then in the 60s is that we have film of all our demonstrations now. We have the technical abilities to video everything that goes on. So we can video our demonstrations. When we get attacked, don't fight back. They can't prosecute us then. They can't paint us as being the aggressors. And if you're not able to do that, then don't go on the demonstration. If you haven't got the patience to do that, don't go on the demonstration. I noticed that Tommy Robinson is now advising this as well for the upcoming Brexit demonstration. And he's saying, if you're going to fight back, don't go to the demonstration. Patrick Little has been holding It's Okay to Be White demonstrations. And they're all going there with their mouths taped up and they're refusing to fight back. And the whole point of it is to show that it's not us that are starting the violence, not us that are doing it. So this is the idea behind this. If you're going to engage in violence at demonstrations, the likelihood is that you are going to be in jail. And what good are our people when they're in jail? What good is it? It's no good whatsoever. We need our people out of jail. So to suggest that the National Socialists were engaged in a lot of violence, so that's going to be helpful for us too. Again, it's looking back 70 years ago and thinking the same situation applies now. The same rules apply now. The same rules do not apply now. We live under a completely different system to what we had back then. He quotes me saying, the only way to solve our nation's problems today is through legitimate means. So, of course, he has to mock that, and I'm some kind of a vote fag for suggesting that. I don't know how he thinks he's going to take power through illegal means. Does he think that we have masses of people, that we're able to fight against the army, we're able to fight against the might of the EU and against America? I mean, it's been discussed so many times that if an ethno-state was to appear somewhere, then NATO would probably attack them and try and force diversity on them. I mean, this guy is a total fantasist. And even Harold Covington's ideas is through legitimate means. We have to do things through legitimate means. And we can look at UKIP. And we can look at what UKIP achieved. And UKIP achieved, through their pressure on the British government, they achieved a referendum so that we had a referendum on whether we were going to leave the EU. And they succeeded. It took them a few years, but they succeeded. We had the vote. We've had the referendum. We're now supposedly going to leave the EU, but we're going to have to put a lot of pressure on Theresa May to make certain that she leaves in the way that we want to leave. But they succeeded in doing that. They did have success in doing that. All we need to do is support groups like UKIP, and you never know what other successes they might have in the future. They're pushing against the grooming gangs. They're pushing against Islam at the moment. If they get big enough, if they get as big as they were before and they start pushing for these things, then they could have an effect at doing that. You've also got the idea that if you yourself are a good man and you're honourable and you're decent and you're dedicated, then you could find yourself having a position in these organisations. You could find yourself a position in UKIP, or you could find yourself a position in the Conservative Party. Take these parties that are already established. Look at America. Look at how Donald Trump was able to become president. We have to work within the legal establishment. So these organisations, these political organisations, like I was mentioning, Britain First, UKIP, support them. Support those organisations. But that isn't all that you do. What you need to be doing is moving somewhere that is white. Again, this is what Harold Covington advises. Move to the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, if you're in America. Settle there and start the beginnings of your white ethnostate. And the beginnings of that are forming your own parallel organisations. And following on from there, reading the books as Harold Covington outlined it in his fictional books. If you're in Britain, I would suggest moving to somewhere that is white. Move somewhere that is still white and make sure it stays white. That's all you need to do. We're not going to be able to take back London, which is 60% non-white now. What you need to be doing is moving somewhere that is still white and keeping it white. Keep it white. That's the important thing. And really, just make sure that you don't interbreed with non-whites yourself. All the while there are still white people left, we can still repopulate the earth. I mean, we've got legends. I mean, just every legend of every country in the world has legends of the earth being repopulated after the flood, just from a couple with three sons and their daughters. And we've got a lot more than that. We've got plenty of white people. You've got a country like Hungary that is still 95% white. People could move to Hungary. People could move to Russia. Russia is still massively white. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know if Putin is going to, or people in Putin's government are going to start pushing to keep Russia white. You just don't know what is going to happen in the future. Nobody could have foreseen that Donald Trump was coming. Nobody could have foreseen that we were going to be leaving the EU with Brexit. You just don't know what is going to happen. What you have to do is do everything you can to achieve the 14 words that you can do legally. And if you think that it can't be done legally, then you're wrong, because there are always ways to get around things. We have to play within the framework that we've been given. We have to play within the rules, basically. If you don't, then they're going to come down on you like a ton of bricks. Just look at what's happened with these people that have been accused of being members of National Action. So we have to be careful about what we're doing. If there is a white uprising, then join it. But certainly don't plan it and talk about it, because you'll just find yourself being arrested. You'll just find yourself being busted and being put in prison. We have to look at legal ways to achieve what we want to achieve. And we have to look at UKIP achieving Brexit and the referendum as being an example of that. And you have to look at people like Matteo Salvini in Italy and Viktor Orban and these other civic nationalists organizations that have actually got voted in. And we need to be supporting the people that are the closest to that in our own countries. And also supporting the ethno-nationalist groups in our own countries. But the one thing we don't want to be doing is being investigated for terrorism, or investigated for inciting racial hatred, or investigated for planning violence against non-whites, because all of that just means that you're just going to end up in jail and you're not going to be any use to white people. So I think I've explained this now, going back through everything that I said before. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to vote our way out of this. I'm saying what we've got to do is attack it from every possible way that we can. And at the same time, we have to look at our own individual selves and our own individual behavior, and we have to improve ourselves, because these people that, these traitors that, that gave in to temptation, they were the same as us. They were white people, exactly the same as us. Don't think that you would be any better if you were tempted with all this money, because you may well have not be any better. But the way to make certain that it couldn't have been you, or it wouldn't be you if you were put in that position, is to improve your character and try to be the best person that you can possibly be, which is what National Socialism was all about. It was all about being the best person that you can, being the best man for the job, improving everything about yourself and dedicating it to your race and to your nation. And that means doing every little thing that you can. Every little bit helps. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You want to, because that one basket can just get broken and every egg will get broken. We need to be doing everything that we possibly can within legal means to avert white genocide. That's what it's all about. Anyway, I've gone a little bit over time here. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.